Amen. Praise the Lord for another special here tonight. Always look forward to the music ministry of the Lighthouse every service. Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 19. Joshua, chapter 19. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua. What a tremendous Bible character we find in Joshua. And God has recorded all that is recorded in the scriptures for us to learn from as we just continue to follow the life of Joshua. We know that we got to that final stage in his life where he is told by God that he's an old man, and Joshua needed to realize that he was an old man, and he needed to realize that he old, but he wasn't dead. He still had things that he could do and the things that God had for him to do, but it was just a change of direction. The fighting has all pretty much been done as far as taking over the kingdoms of the land. All the kingdoms had been defeated, all the major kings. And now the people were giving their possession, their lands, so that their inheritance, so they could go and have the boundaries to know what each tribe would be responsible for in the promised land. It's important that we understand what our responsibilities are, what God expects of us in every area of our lives. And so they were given these boundaries, and they were revealed what they were to do inside their boundaries. And last week we find that before all the land was divided up, Joshua sets up the tabernacle for worship, and that would be set up there until the temple would be built by Solomon in the promised land, as God's plans were for that. But he would set the tabernacle up for worship there in the land, the promised land. And then he addressed some of those who had lost sight of God's will for them to possess the land that God had given to them. And he actually called them slackers, if you will, to reveal to them that they were slack in doing what God had for them to do. And we need to be careful, because we'll have a tendency to slack off if we get content with what's going on in our lives, and we should never look to be content to the place that we forget what God has us here to accomplish. And we want to make sure we're always looking to do the will of God, whatever that might be. Well, that's where we ended up last week. Tonight, we're going to be looking here at chapter 19, verse 49, verses down to verse 51, closing out chapter 19 here. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Joshua is going to receive an inheritance himself. Verse 49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for an inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah, in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. And so let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Again, it's been a blessing just being in the house of the Lord and sensing your presence and being an encouragement and being encouraged by each and every other person that's here tonight. And now, Father, as we've opened up this precious word that you've preserved for us and we're following this study of the life of Joshua, I believe that there's some things that you would have us to learn from what took place here in this passage of Scripture. So I pray that you would empower and bless the preaching of your word once again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, lastly, the land, the Bible says that all of it's been passed out, divided up, exactly the way God wanted to. Everyone has received theirs. But the last one that we find here to receive an inheritance would be God's servant, Joshua. Joshua was not of the mentality that he was going to get his first and then see to each and everyone else was going to get theirs. That's a lot of the mentality today in leadership and even in politics, if you will. They are not looking to serve as much as they are to see what they can get out of the position that they might have. And, of course, there have been a lot of insider trading problems and all sorts of different things taking place, and they're concerned about their own well-being. But we have here an example of godly leadership. And I believe that every Christian ought to desire to be to set a godly example. I believe that every Christian should be an influence instead of being influenced in the world that we live in. We're the light, not the darkness. Okay, we are the salt that makes a difference. And so we ought to be looking to influence society instead of allowing society and other leaders in society to influence us. We don't want to follow after those types of examples. But God has given to us examples that we can follow after. And as we study the Bible, Joshua is an example that we can learn from and follow after. God's servant Joshua was not self-centered in his service to God. When it came to an end of dividing the land, you don't see one thing about Joshua trying to save the best for himself or anything like that. He is focused on God's will for each of the tribes of Israel to make sure that they have what God had for them. And he had the position of that type of a servant. He was leading and he was representing God. And he was helping the nation of Israel to be divided as God wanted them to be divided. So each tribe would have the land that God had for them and had the boundaries, understood what was expected of them from God to be able to possess the land. So he made sure that everyone else was taken care of. You know some people like that, and what a tremendous blessing it is, you know, when you come across somebody that is just more concerned about others than they are themselves. That's the kind of people you want to be around. That's the kind of people that just bring a smile to your face because they are thinking of others. And yet we find that that was the example that our Savior gave us. That's the example that our Savior gave us. That ought to be the example that every Christian follows after. Is that our mindset? We need to ask ourselves that. It might be I'm not finding the blessings in life because I'm not serving as God would have me to serve in life. I'm expecting others to serve me and thinking that's going to bring me happiness or blessings or joy or whatever, and it will not as a Christian. You're going to grieve the Spirit of God because as a Christian, then God is dwelling in you to work through you, and he wants every believer to follow the example of Christ. Now, we have that example very clearly given to us, and I know that you know these verses, but I think we need to apply them maybe a little differently tonight here into our own personal lives. Philippians in chapter 2, let me read to you. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, you're going to be consoled with your Christianity. If any comfort of love, you're going to really find this love and be comforted by it. If any fellowship of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, I want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, this is the kind of mindset that God wants us to have, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but in his position of God in the flesh, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow, isn't that powerful? We've read it, no doubt, but sometimes we read things and we don't really get the full meaning of it until certain times, maybe here tonight. Maybe the Spirit of God just opened up your understanding to this and you understand the full meaning of it more now, possibly. Can I tell you that God uses servants, not lords? Jesus came as Lord of Lords. He's always been Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's going to be representative of that when he comes back to rule and reign. But he came to give an example of how we ought to live a Christian life. And he became a servant. The highest Lord and King that you could ever imagine. But he became a servant as an example. We should never feel ourselves better than somebody else. Should never be looking at somebody else and say, you ought to be serving me because of who I am and what I've accomplished. That's not Christianity. God uses servants and not lords. Matthew chapter 20, and again, write these verses down, go back and study them because most of it you know, but just a matter of applying it. But Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. But Jesus called them, his disciples, who were arguing about who was going to be greatest and all the things. But Jesus called unto them him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. The world and the worldly mentality is to be a lord and have as many servants as you can have. That's success. That is arriving, if you will. And the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. You want greatness with God. God uses servants. He uses ministers, those who want to serve. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Do we want to be used of the Lord, or do we want to be envied by man? Want God's exaltation, or do you want man's exaltation? God designed his churches, which are made up of individual households, to you servants. In the church, we know the position that God established to pastor the church, if you will, and fill in a position that God established, which you need to have, leadership positions. But the leadership position of the church was not to be a lord. All these different religions that want to look to a man and exalt a man, want to kiss a man's foot or kiss a man's hand or to be able to pray to a man, listen, that's not of the Bible. That's not of God. Over in the book of 1 Peter, let me read to you, write it down again, but 1 Peter in chapter 5 very clearly reveals some things here to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, the elders which are among you I exhort, pastors, who am also an elder, position of leadership in the church, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, and you have a position to do that. You need to be able to do that. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. You're not doing it for money. You're not going to let somebody persuade you in what you're presenting and how you're leading because of the tithes that they give or whatever they offer. It says you're not doing it for that. But neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. been examples to the congregation, not as a Lord, but as a servant. In Ephesians in chapter 5, the Bible says this about in the home, there has to be leadership in the home. And God has given that leadership position to the man. That's just Bible. Not because the man's more important than the woman. It's not at all. But God has chosen the man to be the leader of the home. He's chosen the man to be the head of the family, the head of the wife, the leader, the provider, all the different things that he needs to be doing in the home. But he does these things as a service, not as a Lord. If you have a lordship mentality in your home, then you are messed up and you are not having the blessings of God upon your life. The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 22, the same as it is in the church. If the leadership wants to be a lord over God's heritage, then they've messed up. That is not God's plan for the church. That is not God's plan for the home, even though there are positions of leadership. They are not lordships. They are not positions of lords. They are positions of greater service. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wow, well, then that's lordship. No, keep going. For the husband is the head of the wife, yes, has to be. Even as Christ is the head of the church, wow, and is the savior of the body. Wow, I'm as Christ is to the church. And if you're not careful, you're going to get the big head and think that's Lord. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, as a servant, you're willing to give your life to serve. As a Lord, you're thinking, no, somebody else has to die, not me. Somebody else can do this. I'm Lord. I'm too important for me to have to die. I am too important. So, wife, you might have to sacrifice yourself. Or children, sorry, you might have to offer yourself on the altar. Because I'm the head. I'm the husband. I'm the Lord of the house. Wrong. What greater service than to be willing to die, to give yourself to die for someone else? That's thinking of others. That's not thinking of you. That's focusing on helping others to have to go through that kind of suffering and agony and pain. A good leader would say, well, I wish I could take your pain. I wish I could endure what you have to endure for you. You can't do that. But the heart would be, ever loving parent, when you see your children going through something, you say, well, I wish I could take their pain. I wish you could give it to me, Lord. Don't let them suffer. Lord, take it. I want to take it on. See, that's a servant mentality. That's the kind of mentality that God uses. As a pastor, Paul said, he would die himself for Israel to be saved. And he understood damnation. He understood hell. But his servant's heart was such as, I don't want to see anyone go to hell. I would desire to do it myself to keep someone else from having to go. You can't do that. But the desire should be there. The love should be there. The mentality should be there. The husband and the head, you've got that greatest position to serve. You can make the biggest difference in your house. The pastor, the staff, the pastor's wife, the staff wives, we can make the greatest impact on this church through service. Not through saying, well, I'm a staff of this church, so I'm too. No, somebody else go in there and clean the bathrooms. Somebody else has to do this. Not me. I don't have to pick this up. Somebody else come over here and pick that trash up. I am a staff member. If I ever thought that of any of our staff members, we would not have that staff member at the next service. One of the blessings of this church, one of the reasons this church has the blessings when you come in, you sense the presence of God and you just sense something different, it's because of the servant mentality in the leadership of this church. I love that. When leadership serves, others will be more apt to follow. That's why we have the congregation that we have. My wife, and most of you know, could be, she would never want me to say anything like this, and she doesn't feel this way, possibly the greatest servant in the church. She's a greater servant than I. I guarantee you that. And that's why the ladies of this church have caught on with that mentality of service. That's why the ladies' ministries are so powerful in this church. And it filters down. And every one of the areas of responsibility from our staff, you can see a servant's mentality. Amen. If they're not, they're new to the church and they haven't learned that as of yet, I guess. A servant's mentality. Joshua, no doubt, a servant mentality, did not set himself up as a lord. He made sure that everyone else had their inheritance. He made sure that everyone else was taken care of. He didn't demand anything for himself. Even after everyone was taken care of, go back there with me in Joshua chapter 19. He would not demand anything. He was given his inheritance. Look what it says right there. They had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance for their coast. The children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them, according to the word of the Lord. He didn't say, all right, now that everyone's taken care of, I've done that part, now this is what I want, this is what I think that everyone ought to give me. He did not do that. He was given an inheritance which was according to the will of God, but he didn't demand it. He didn't demand it from the children of Israel because he wasn't serving the children of Israel. He was first of all serving God, and through serving God, serving the children of Israel. Right. If you're serving people, you're going to be disappointed. And expectations of serving someone might keep you from continuing to serve people, because it's sad to say that most people don't appreciate others' sacrifices as they should. You know what you sacrifice for others. If you're doing it for them, you won't last in ministry. Or you'll get hardened and you'll stop serving as you should serve. But if you're serving God, we ought to lower our expectations of man and only expect from God. I love that. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I want you to read this. In Psalm 62, you possibly are burned out because you've been serving and no one's done anything for you and on and on and on, or somebody, you've given somebody more than what they even realized what you sacrificed to give them, and you didn't even get a thank you, you didn't get a smile, and on and on and on. These types of things happen, and before you know it, you say, well, I don't get any joy in that. Well, you're looking in the wrong place for the joy. The Bible says in Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And all those things are true. If you are becoming the servant that God wants you to serve, then you are serving the Lord and you're doing things for others and you're not expecting others to do anything for you in return. Because when you're serving others and whatever you do for other people, you're looking up to God for your expectations is of the Lord. And I guarantee you, God can bless you far more than what any man could bless you or any woman could bless you. Are you serving as God would have you to serve in the positions of opportunities that you have in life? That's the question. You want God's blessings. Stop looking and expecting for people to appreciate what you do for them, even though they will and they should. But if you expect it, that's when that's not going to happen, and then the devil's going to get a victory in your life. Don't put your expectations in man. Just make sure that you're doing all that God would have you to do for whoever it is that God would have you do it for as you serve him. Yeah. The children of Israel were listening to God to be able to give Joshua his inheritance. Yeah. Joshua was not expecting it from them, even though he was looking to God for whatever God had for him. He was expecting that. But God worked through the children of Israel to give Joshua what God had for Joshua as an inheritance, because they realize this to be God's will. If you go back there with me to our text, I want you to see that. So they gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. In verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked. Now that's, we'll come back to that because that's significant as well. Even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. He didn't ask them for it. There's no recording of any of that. But he and Caleb were the two spies that brought a good report back. And as Caleb was given a promise of land, even though it's not recorded, by the Bible saying that he asked, it must have been what he desired with Caleb concerning the promised land before he would have the position that he would have to divide up the land. He put everything else on hold to serve God, to meet the needs of others. And now the children of Israel were listening to God, and God reminded them that he had a specific land for Joshua to inherit. Wow. According to the word of God, They realized this to be God's will. It was possibly promised to Joshua at the same time that Caleb was promised his. We find here that God took care of Joshua because God wants his servants to be taken care of. God wants his servants to be taken care of, even though his servants should not be demanding anything. His servants ought not to be expecting anything from man, but looking to God. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think man needs to be aware of God's plan for God's servants. I think all pastors need to teach their congregation God's word. We're to preach God's word. In 1 Timothy in chapter 5, God was working through Paul to send God's message to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, this is God's message. You have to be aware of this. Chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Rule well as their servants. Be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That's what the Bible says. So every church or any church that wants God's blessings upon their church, they have to follow the scriptures. And by following the scriptures, they ought to show concern for those that God had put in that church as leadership of that church. And not begrudge that at all. Be thankful for the leadership that God brings into your church and be looking to make sure that you are taking care of the leadership that God has brought into the church. Because the leadership, looking to God and not to man. That the idea that some who are not knowledgeable of the Bible, they'll say, well, we pay the salary of our staff here. No, you don't pay the salary of your staff. You don't pay the salary of this pastor. You give unto the Lord where God has planted you. You give to God through your church. But God is the one that's going to supply my need. I don't preach as to wanting you to meet my needs. That is not the position that God has given to me. My position as God has given to me is to preach the word and help you to understand exactly what the Bible says. And when you understand what the Bible says, then you'll understand the will of God and you will do what the Bible says you ought to do in honoring and respecting and meeting the needs of those leaders that God has brought into the church. That's just Bible. You know, that's also when it comes to our missionaries. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, we find here Paul is writing to the church concerning missions, even though it would be Paul who they would be sending money to, because he was the missionary, the main missionary right there, going and taking the gospel. But as an example for us in making sure all of our missionaries are taken care of, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. God blesses the churches so that we can bless the leadership and the servants of God. How that in a great trial of affliction, of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. They gave as God wanted them to give because they didn't have it, but they knew that there was a need for missionary support to get the gospel into the world. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. These are the servants of God. Paul was a servant of God as a missionary going out to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Missionary come in here and demand support, he's never going to get support. Missionary comes in here and says, I'm called of God. I want to do the work that God's called me. I'm a servant of God's, called to the field of whatever it might be. He's worthy of our support as long as he's taken the gospel. It's part of representing this church, and we're going to make sure that we are looking to take care of our missionaries because it's the will of God to support the servants of God. Yeah. Wow. Go back with me, our text. We got to quit here. Everybody follow me tonight. Amen. It's good stuff. Joshua, an example for this, and helping us to see the type of minister, the kind of leadership that God wants out of all of us in our homes. Am I really serving in my home as God would have me to serve, or do I have a different mentality than Christ would have in my home? See, Joshua was an example in what he did with his inheritance. After he was given his inheritance by the children of Israel, understanding this to be the will of God, then the next thing that he does, and we're going to close with this, he shows them what a good steward would do with what he had. He built the city and dwelt therein for the whole nation of Israel to see as an example of what God would have us to do with what God supplies us with. He was a good steward. A good steward. He built the city. He took the inheritance that the children of Israel gave him, knowing this was the will of God. And he used it to build the city for God. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, it's a powerful truth that the Lord gives us here. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Okay, we're the servants of God, every believer is. God has given to you blessings to use to serve. Not only just money, not only finances, but he's given to you blessings and talents and spiritual gifts to use to serve. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Wow. 5-talent servant. Then he that had received the 5 talents went, verse 17, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now look down to verse 27. He's addressing the one who hid the word, hid the talent, and didn't use it to serve. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 30, and cast ye that unprofitable servant who didn't use any of his talents, wasn't a servant of any, didn't do anything, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Thou shalt be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talents. Can I tell you, he didn't expect the 1 talent to produce 5 talents. He didn't expect the 2 talents to produce 5 talents. He did expect the 5 talents to produce 5 talents. And he did expect the 2 talents to have 2 talents. But he also expected the 1 talent to be used and expected him to double, to use that 1 talent. Didn't expect as much, but he did expect something. When I read that, and I understanding service, the mentality of serving, don't compare yourself with others. We need to accomplish all we can with what God has given each one of us. If you look to somebody that's doing more, then it might discourage you to where you won't do what you can do. You look to somebody that's not doing as much, you might become complacent and not accomplish all that you could accomplish. Most important thing to do is to look to God and become his servant. And as we look to God and become his servant, then he opens doors, sometimes doors that only you and God know about, for you to serve, for you to help, for you to care for someone else. That's what's going to bring you joy. That's what's going to bring you the peace of God and fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God, is knowing I am doing everything with what God has given to me in a position, with talents, with finances, whatever it might be. I'm serving God with what God has given to me to accomplish all that he has for me to accomplish. And when you get to that place, can I tell you, that's the joy of the Lord. If I give every head bowed tonight. Joshua just served and served, taking care of others, and then God worked through the nation of Israel to give Joshua his portion. And when he had his portion, he was content and going in there and just accomplishing everything he could with what God had given to him. And what a tremendous example, a testimony that Joshua has, not only to them, but he has to us here tonight as we read what God has recorded for us as an example in the life of Joshua. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to glean from this passage of scripture and, Lord, apply whatever we need to apply. Help us, Lord, to just not to be so self-centered. Help us not to be slack in what you would have us to do, but help us to be the servants accomplishing all that you have for us to accomplish. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.